You dive into the water and then you are completely still, and the one who goes down the furthest wins. You know what the record is for that? Set in 1904, the record is 64 feet and some odd inches. 62 feet and 4 inches, that's it. 62 feet, 4 inches, straight down, no movement, just a dive into the water. You know how many Olympic Games that event lasted? One. But the Olympics are the essence of a high level of competition. They try to answer the question, who is the very best in the world? To finish in the top three is a dream for most of the competitors. To be in the finals is a dream for some of the competitors. And for some, just to be able to participate is a dream come true. At times, it's how we finish in the standings that matters most, though. And if you don't make the very top tier, then there's a profound sense of loss. It doesn't matter that you were in the Olympics participating in perhaps the world's greatest sporting event. All it matters is that you didn't finish first, or in the top three, or in the final heat. And there's that sense of disappointment. It isn't a problem just for top-tier athletes. It's a problem that pervades society. It's the desire to keep up with the Joneses. It's the desire to be seen not as the least. As long as someone else is below me, I'm okay. I think it comes to one of the deepest desires I believe most people carry in their hearts. And it begins at a very early age and stays with us throughout our years. And it's this. It's the desire. It's the desire to belong. To belong. It's the desire to be significant. Often in our society, belonging is based on who I am, what I do, what I have accomplished, or what I have accumulated. Has the world become such a rat race that we can no longer find contentment in being who we were created to be? As Christians, we share a common goal in this life, which is to live our lives for Christ. No, to strive to be like Christ. And all we need to be reminded from time to time as we begin is to not compare ourselves with one another. But what do? We compare ourselves with one another. And we forget that at the cross, the ground is level. No one stands above another, as we are all found to be equals in Christ Jesus. Yet we live in a world where that no longer seems to be true. This week, a man drove a truck through a crowded boulevard in Nice, France, killing more than 80. 25 were placed on life support, and others listed in critical condition. This man did not believe that all people are created equal. No, his belief is, if you don't believe in the Islamic faith tradition, you are an infidel, an enemy of Islam, and are to be eradicated like roaches in a house. And we could return this sentiment and say that he is unworthy. He is unworthy to be loved. He is unworthy to belong. But that's not the way of God. For if it was, could we ever belong? After Jesus rose from the dead and Christianity began, as the church formed and started sharing the life-saving good news of Jesus with others, some Jews still felt that they were better off not only believing in Jesus as their Savior, but also following the law of Moses. Some of those laws might have had to do with what a person could eat or what a person could wear. Other laws had to do with how far one could travel on the Lord's day or how much work could a person do on the Sabbath. But the specific law that these Jews wanted Christians to follow dealt with circumcision. If you remember back in the Old Testament, when God had first chosen Abraham to be the father of all nations, to be the father of a nation who would follow God to be the father of a nation that God chose to be with. God told Abraham that the sign of belonging was circumcision. And it seems some Jews are saying to the Galatian believers that in order to be a true Christian, a follower of Jesus, one who belongs to God, you needed to become circumcised because that was the sign of belonging. So the Apostle Paul continually pounds the drum to the people in Galatia that one is accepted by God only, well, let us read it together. So in Christ Jesus, you are children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. It is through faith and faith alone that they could become a child of God. There was no other way. And in the early church, baptism was the culmination of that moment of pronouncing one's faith in Christ. A new convert would go to upwards of 3 years of teachings and studying, in essence, to show themselves approved as a believer, one who would follow Christ, one who would glorify God with their whole life. Baptism would then be the final act of that confession. Baptism through immersion, the symbolism of dying with Christ and then being raised with Christ. The convert, after being raised, would put on a white robe, signifying the clothing of being with Christ, putting on the new self. But Paul doesn't stop there. He's about to turn everything they had ever heard on its ear. Paul is going to drop a bombshell on them that would reverberate throughout the centuries. This is what he says. Read it with me. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul says here that in Christ we are all one. We are all the same. No ethnic differences matter, whether Jew or Gentile. No cultural differences matter, whether slave or free. No sexual differences matter, whether female or male. For we are all the same in Christ. Paul goes on to say, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. This is the place, the church, that is supposed to be the ultimate place of belonging. Did you know that? This is where people come to find life and come to find significance in belonging to Christ. So in Christ, again, all are equal. All are God's children. All are heirs. There is freedom for all people. I recently saw the movie Race, the story of Jesse Owens, who was a young African American. Jesse was blessed by God to run fast. Very fast over short distances. Jesse would run for the Ohio State University. Yoo-hoo! And there, he would face a lot of racism from other students and other coaches and even other athletes. Despite the fact that before going to college, he held the world record in the 100-yard dash. Before going to college, not after. Others would only see the outside color of his skin and make a judgment that he indeed was unworthy. But in the eyes of God, he was no different than anyone else. He was a sinner in need of a Savior. And in Paul's letter to the Galatians, he states, there is no difference based on nationality. There is no difference based on skin color. There is no difference based on sex. All can come to faith. All are heirs of the promise of eternal life. In our lives, what is it that sets each other apart? Often it's a matter of position. position in the birth order, position in your graduating class, position at work. The amount of money you make, whether you are male or female, even ethnicity matters. All of these things and more can create barriers and create positions or classes in society. And frankly, friends, it happens even in the church. Even as Christians, we create a pecking order. And it's not biblical. According to Paul and Christ, we are all the same in God's eyes. We all belong. In the eternal court of law, the judge sits on the bench and hears the case. The case is presented by two opposing lawyers. One lawyer is trying to prove that you are guilty of the crimes you have committed, crimes of imperfection before a perfect God. The lawyer speaks to the judge and points his finger at you and begins to tell the judge of all your actions, all your thoughts that you have taken that have caused you to fall short of the glory of God, of who you were created to be. You shrink in your seat as the lawyer speaks, knowing that all he is saying is true. At times, you have committed sin or have not done what is right in the eyes of God. Your head falls into your hands. You have been found out. All you thought that was hidden is now made known. The lawyer is right. You don't deserve anything. There is no room for you to belong in the kingdom of heaven. This lawyer turns to sit down. There's a smile crossing his face, knowing that he has nailed you. That there is nowhere for you to turn. Then thinking you have no chance, your lawyer stands up and faces first the judge and acknowledges him. He then turns toward the other lawyer and looks down to him and utters these words, "You are correct. My client is guilty of everything you have said." You aren't thinking about how much you make, the awards you've won, the size of your bank account, even the number of times you've gone to church. All you know is that the lawyer is right. You are guilty. You have come up short. There's nothing you can do. It doesn't matter your nationality, Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter the culture you're from or your status in that culture, slave or free. It doesn't matter whether you're a male or a female. It doesn't matter to God. What matters is if you have faith in Jesus. What matters is if you have given your heart to God. What matters is if you trust God now and forevermore. Your lawyer then takes off his official robe and puts it around you. He turns to the judge and says, "I will pay this person's penalty." The judge looks at you and sees that the penalty has been paid for and that you are now clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And this freedom is made available to all. No exceptions. No exceptions. All we have to do is receive the gift of salvation that we have been freely given. And that goes for every one of us gathered here. Every one of us who lives and breathes has this right to belong. Yes, even those who would seek to terrorize you have this right to belong. Friends, if we could just look upon one another here, not as people, but as children of God. If we would live seeing each other as fellow heirs of the promise of the kingdom of God, we could then put our pettinesses aside and focus on what really matters in life. And that being our focus on loving God and loving others as they ought to be loved, because we already belong. Trying to help others to know the love of God that is found in Jesus Christ. I love how Paul writes it down a few verses later. Read it with me. But when the set time has fully come, God sent His Son to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. This sonship is not about being male or female, but it's a positional placement. In the thinking of that day, the eldest son in ancient days received a double portion of the inheritance from his father. And here Paul is saying to those who receive Jesus as their Savior, to those who have received adoption to the highest position and honor as a child of God, that you receive a double portion. That you receive all that God has for you. And Paul goes on to state, because you are His sons, His daughters, God sent His Spirit, sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has also made you an heir. You have the full rights as an adopted heir of God. Why don't you live into it? Why don't you proclaim it so that all can know? We do not have to feel like we must compete for God's love. God's love is available to all of us now. It doesn't matter what else someone thinks of you. What matters is how God sees you. Friends, what we need most is to be led by a shepherd, by our Savior and the Spirit of God, because I know God leads us through Jesus' example. I know God leads us through the Spirit who guides and directs us. I know that the Father loves us so that we can know we belong. Will we not listen? Will we not follow? Will we not belong to the greatest in the kingdom of God? Eric Little, if you remember the movie Chariots of Fire, Eric Little was a runner for England, Britain. And he goes to the Olympics, and his event is to run on Sunday, the 100-meter dash. He was fast. In fact, he says, I believe God made me for a purpose, but He made me fast. And when I run, I feel His pleasure. But he refused to run on Sunday because it was against the Lord's will for him. And so he ended up running in the 400-meter dash outside of his true abilities. God made me for a purpose. But He also made me fast. And when I run, I feel His pleasure. See, the thing about belonging, the thing about being with God is that God has created you for a purpose. A purpose. And when we live into that purpose, whether it is coming to worship God, teaching others about God, whether it is loving into the kingdom others, whether it is giving of yourself to help others know the love of Christ, whether it is giving of your finances so that the church can continue to grow for the kingdom of God. Whatever those gifts that God has given you, God asks you to use them. You see, Eric says, and when I run, I feel His pleasure. And I tell you, when you perform for God, when you do what God has created you to do, you will feel God's pleasure. That's a part of belonging. It's just not to sit and to be, but it is to go and to do what God has given you to do. You are made to belong. I can tell you that you belong. But to really feel like you belong, God says you must participate. Remember how I said the ground is even at the cross, level at the cross? That no one is greater, no one is lesser. But God uses all that you give to the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. you are all worthy to be called sons and daughters of the Most High King. So go and live into it. Go and do those things that you think in your own mind, Lord, I could never do that for you. To knit pocket squares. Who really cares, Linda? God does. And people have used those pocket squares to share God's love with others. These quilts, really? Who cares if someone loves quilting? But God gave someone the pleasure in making those quilts. And these prayer quilts go out for God's glory. Who cares about numbers? Who cares about accounting? Who cares about whether a fire burns or not? God cares. And God wants you to belong. And I want you to live into that belonging by doing what God has called you to do. Can you do that? Okay, a couple nods. Can you do that? Yes, Pastor, I can do that. So we ask God then to lead us. We ask Jesus to be our shepherd, to guide and direct our thoughts. We ask the Holy Spirit to come and to push us. Sometimes, yes, yelling and screaming, to push us to do what will glorify God in our lives, what God has given us the gift to do. And please don't ever tell me that God has not gifted you. Because you're in for a talking, right? Because God says in His Word, I have given you gifts and graces. And to go and use those gifts and graces to draw other people closer to me. I don't care if you're retired. I don't care if you're starting off in life. God's got a place for you. A place where you will belong. A place where you will serve and feel God's pleasure. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace that never, ever, ever ends. And we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would guide us and direct us. God, that in this moment we would once again renew ourselves to you. That we would once again give over our lives, make that decision to give over our lives and follow you. We ask in Jesus' name, glorify yourself, Lord. Help us to feel the pleasure of serving you. That not only we may belong, but that others may belong to. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,